Okay, we will now call to order the September 11, 2018 City of Daytona Beach Special Magistrate Proceedings. At the outset, I've reviewed the minutes of our August 14, 2018 meeting, approved them, and have now signed them. And I want to thank Mr. Riggio for filling in for me. He did an excellent job, as usual. Do we have any announcements before we start with this morning's schedule?
Yes, we do. The following cases are in compliance. Case number 7, SMG 06-1862 at 148 South Oleander Avenue, number 2, on 9-7-18. Case number 8, SMG 08-1883 at 148 South Oleander Avenue, number 1, in compliance 9-7-18. Case number 21, SMG 09-18-118 at North Atlantic Avenue, parcel 5305-01-46-0190 is in compliance 9-11-18. And that's it.
All right. I don't know that I would call it an announcement, but today is the anniversary, of course, of the most terrific day in probably American history. So with that, I'm going to ask for one moment of silence, and I'm going to ask our secretary, since I don't have a watch with me today. To let me know when that minute is up. All right, with that, we will proceed with our schedule, and the first thing we have is a lien review. Nivra Consulting and Investment Group, LLC, 713 Marion Street. Is there anyone here for the respondent? Oh, I'm sorry. Well, those witnesses for the City of Daytona Beach will be testifying at this morning's proceedings. Please stand and be sworn.
Yes. I'm a representative of Never Consulting Investment Group, 713 Marion Street, 32114. Daytona. My name is Harvin, Dr. Harvin.
Very good. All right, lien review requests. I'm selling a different property located in Daytona, and this lien is coming up. We corrected the problem within 4 days of notice, and we couldn't reach the inspector and no calls back. When we first acquired the property, the previous owner, Phyllis Hatton, had the liens until the home inspector discovered that it was owned by new owners. Sold for a few years, owned by a separate entity, taking 100% interest, requesting a partial release off the property that we are selling on property 520 South Martin Luther King Boulevard. Keep lien on property of interest 713 Marion Street. Thank you in advance. And it is Dr. Harvin?
Yes.
All right. The amount of the lien is $10,024, and why should the City of Daytona Beach consider granting you any relief on that?
Yes, that amount, I feel as though that amount is inaccurate based on it was cured, and also most importantly, we're asking that you do a partial, if anything, leave it on the property, 713, because 520 Martin Luther King has no liens or anything, and it's in a process of being disposition. And I have pictures of when it was cured.
You have pictures of what, the property of 713 Marion?
Yes. And also, And also, the owner that has 100% vested interest in the property.
I understand this case goes back to 2010.
From my understanding, it was from 2015. If it was prior, it was owned from, I believe, Phyllis had.
Okay, when was this property brought into compliance?
Good morning, Mr. McCallage. Anthony Jackson, attorney for the City of Daytona Beach. Mr. McCallage, the property is not in compliance.
And why are we hearing this?
The city does not is recommending that that it should be heard. That we're hearing it because he made the request and we allowed it to come forward. But
we don't hear lien reviews until the property's in compliance.
That's correct, unless there's some...
This property is not only not in compliance from the photos I'm looking at, it looks to me like nothing's been attended to since 2015.
That's exactly our position. Nothing's changed from the last... I'm looking at the November 15th response to the magistrate that said that the property had... junk vehicles, house needed painting, trash and debris on the porch, and it's still the same. That's the position of the city. We realize that the Dr. Harvin's position is that they've they don't have possession, but it was by quitclaim, and it was never resolved. And it was not until 2017 that was even quitclaim. So for even 2 years, it sat without any attendance to the violations. And here we are today asking for relief, and the relief for the property they're trying to sell is property that is under condemnation as well. So we have no desire to see any remedy at this point.
Hence my first question, why is it even here?
Just for the request to be on an agenda was placed.
Okay. All right. Dr. Harvin, better bring your A game.
Okay. The property itself, during the time, it was in compliance. I have the pictures as proof during that period of time. The property is owned 100%, and as the representative stated, it is owned by someone else by quick claim. They went ahead and acquired the property, assuming all previous liens to cure anything that was unresolved. Okay, and as far as the other property that he's mentioning, that's not the property that we're here for as far as judgment on that property. But what we're asking is for a partial release because we can't just go on somebody's property and redo the work that was already done. The person who acquired the property went ahead and stated that they would go ahead and take care of any and all liens when they acquired the property. So we're just asking for the liens to stay on the property in which it was acquired originally.
Denied.
Is there, let me, okay, let me ask Yon. What can be done? What would your recommendation be as far as take care of a property that's owned by someone else?
Well, I'm just opining now on the basis of what little I've read here. You'll have to consult with the attorney and the building inspector regarding that. They're the ones most knowledgeable. My observations, for whatever it's worth, is that you've got a property that you've left in your rear view mirror that you were responsible for, and it was fined. And until that property is brought into compliance, or somebody has brought that property into compliance, then as far as I'm concerned, you're responsible for Marion Street, Martin Luther King Boulevard, however many other properties you have in this area. And with all due respect, I, for one, am not particularly interested in listening to you abandon one wreck of a property and then asking for relief on another.
Okay. You know, with all due respect, I have the pictures as proof of the condition of the property.
Those weren't very flattering.
Okay. Before pictures, had someone had parked trailers all on the property.
Okay.
It was cars by the person that was living there. The porch had stuff all on it. The bushes and hedges was high because the person that was living there during the time that was renting.
Okay.
That was renting the property.
Well, I'm glad you made improvements.
And
the job's not done.
Everything that was addressed during the time, it was taken care of.
Well, first off, I'm not the one you need to be directing these assertions to.
Okay.
Until there's a piece of paper in this thing that says compliance, this could be the White House for all I know. It doesn't matter. Until I see a piece of paper in here that says it's in compliance, it's not in compliance, and I look to these gentlemen on the left to tell me when it's in compliance. So
okay.
I appreciate your assertions that work has been done, but there's more to be done, and I'm not here to criticize anybody. We don't even consider lien reviews until the property's in compliance. That's the hard and fast rule.
No.
Thank you, sir.
Can I ask for a reduction, please?
No.
Okay.
I would suggest you get in touch with these folks over here, figure out Marion Street, and then what I will do for you is once the property is in compliance, I won't consider this as to be your one and only lien review, which is all we give out. So once the property is in compliance, if you want to come back and ask us to consider a lien review, we will do it, because at that point, as far as I'm concerned, you'll actually have standing for your request, because right now you don't.
Yeah, I did try to contact Mr. Sykes.
All right, well.
And no calls back with the number that he provided.
Try again. Marion Street needs to be in compliance before you're eligible for the special magistrate to even consider a lien review. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
All right. Nicholas M. Sathas, 436 Eastwood Lane. Is there anyone here for the respondent?
Yes, sir. Nicholas Sathas, 135 Country Circle Drive East, Fort Orange. Yes.
Failure to obtain rental license. Order requiring you to come into compliance by June. Amended order of noncompliance allowing you to come into compliance by September. Affidavit of noncompliance. Let's hear from the city first. This matter is here for the imposition of a fine.
Mr. Kelger, the inspector in this case is Jerome McCoy. Mr. McCoy reports that indeed the respondent has done, he had a recent inspection. He has just about everything done. He needs an electrician for one item remaining. The inspector believes that he's working in good faith, and even though we've been very patient at this point, we'll maintain that patience for one more amendment to get this thing done, whether we do it by automatic fine or by giving him till the next cutoff. The inspector's asking for to amend to the next cutoff.
Mr. Sathas?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. Sounds to me as though the city is relatively happy with your performance to date and has indicated that you don't have too much further to go.
Correct.
And we always appreciate people actually doing something. So that having been said, it's been proposed that you ought to be done with this by the next cutoff. And the next cutoff, for your information, would be October 3, 2018. What say you to that?
That's fine. Thank you, sir.
That's fine. How confident are you you're actually going to be done? Do I need to throw a kicker of a fine in there just to make you get it done?
No, sir.
Or are you going to get it done?
No, sir. I have a few outlets that need to be checked.
Okay. Well, and I'll tell you what. I'll just go ahead and amend to give you the next cutoff and don't come back
that.
Again, because the next time the only conversation left to have is going to be a fine.
Yes, sir.
All right. I will amend our previous order of noncompliance to allow the respondent until October 3, 2018 to come into compliance or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Good luck to you. Make sure you call that inspector your final inspection. Do not forget that.
Yes, sir.
Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Mary Hawkins Yan, 227 Riva Street. Anyone here for the respondent? What say the city?
Ms. Vakelter, the inspector in the case is Jerome McCoy. Ms. McCoy reports that there was a recent inspection. The property remains in noncompliance, and I will have to look to Mr. McCoy for a recommendation on what he'd like to see happen in this case. So I'd ask if you can come in.
Good morning, sir.
Yes, sir.
McCoy, code inspector for the city. My credentials are on file. Yes, a recent inspection has been completed. However, it was one of the units that I just got into. It's a duplex, and that unit has some issues that need to be corrected. The first unit that I got in, the second inspection, it passed, so I needed to give them some more time.
All right, so the first unit has passed inspection, for lack of a better word?
Yes, the first
one. But now we're into the second one.
We're into the second one, and I was just able to get in because the owner had to put some pressure onto the tenant because they were not connecting, and I was able to get in for this inspection, and I found some issues in there that definitely need to be addressed.
All right, and how much more time should be required?
The next cutoff should be fine.
All right. I will amend our current order of noncompliance to allow the respondent until October 3, 2018 to come into compliance or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number 3, Jahad G. and Nidal G. Murad. Good morning.
Jihad Murad, 148 First Avenue, Daytona Beach, Florida. Yes.
All right, this matter is here for the imposition of a fine, so let's hear from the city first.
Mr. Kelty, the inspector in this case is Jerome McCoy. Mr. McCoy reports that this is the primary issue in this case is a rental license. The there has been an inspection. He had to, because of additional tenants, he had to get a reinspection and an additional rental license, which has just been issued and he's awaiting reinspection. Mr. McCoy is asking that you amend to the next cutoff as he awaits the reinspection.
Okay, Mr. Murad.
Yes, sir.
It's been suggested that we should give you additional time, specifically till October 3, 2018, to come into compliance. What say you to that?
That's fine. I think I can get it done.
You can get it done? What does that mean?
I'm going to try my best.
Okay, don't give me any more platitudes. Speak to me in nuts and bolts. Do you have windows to be repaired? Do you have doors to be replaced? Give me some context here. Do you have to rewire the entire place?
Can I get to the following cutoff?
Well, again, that's kind of why I'm asking what you actually need to do here to come into compliance.
I have two other apartments that he's going to inspect, and I don't know what he's going to find.
Okay, have these inspections not yet taken place?
That's correct, but
no, sir. The license was just applied for, so.
Then, with all due respect, you can't tell me how much time it's going to take for him to come into compliance because you haven't seen it for yourself yet.
That's correct.
All right. We're going to continue this matter to the October 9, 2018 meeting, at which point in time we will establish a new compliance date given the fact that we have additional facilities that are to be inspected here. And in the interim, you need to make sure he gets access to everything he needs to see.
Yes, sir.
And I'm hoping on or about October 9, 2018, you are close to being in compliance.
Yes.
Because I doubt very seriously I'll be giving you much more than an additional compliance date. 10-4?
Fine. Yes, sir.
All right. So we're going to continue this matter to the October 9, 2018 meeting. In the interim, our inspector is going to have total access to everything he needs to inspect. He will tell you everything that needs to be done. And then just in case there are any surprises, mm-hmm. we'll deal with them on October 9th. Otherwise, you keep working toward coming into compliance.
Yes, sir.
But the key here is make sure he gets total access.
Absolutely.
Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Case number 4, Margaret Ellen Eberwein, 348 Jackson Avenue. Anyone here for the respondent? All right, what say the city?
Mr. Kelger, this case is before you for a progress report. It's what I'm seeing noted. I'm not quite sure as far as whether there's a compliance. Apparently, we don't have a compliance date. The inspector is John Stinson. Mr. Stinson's reporting that there hasn't been any real progress being made. He's asking for next cutoff for the property to be brought into compliance. But I'll tend to Mr. Stinson to speak to that further.
Good morning, Mr. Scalza. John Stinson, code inspector with the city. We're having some issues.
Excuse me,
are
your credentials on file?
My credentials are on file.
I'm just so accustomed to it, I'm waiting on it.
Thank you. Yes.
All right, go ahead.
My credentials are on file.
Go ahead.
I'm having a little technical issue with my pictures here. I did inherit this case from a former inspector. However, my last inspection of the property was last Thursday. And here we go. And as you can tell, there's been little to no progress. I'm saying this property is in non-compliance. It should be in progress by next cutoff.
So what's the progress that's being reported to me?
I have no progress. The progress is that there has been no progress.
Have we been in communication with the respondent?
I have had no communication. I've left door hangers, knocked on the door, but I haven't spoken to anyone.
No. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Noting the absence of the respondent based on our inspector's testimony, I'm going to order that the property be brought into compliance by October 3, 2018, or the respondent be returned for imposition of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Did I say that correctly?
Yes.
Coming into compliance by October 3, 2018, or return to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Thank you. Case number 5, Jong Soo Yoon and Lee O.K., 309 North Atlantic Avenue. Anyone here for the respondent? What say the city?
Mr. Kelger, this property, the inspector is John Stinson, and Mr. Stinson reports that there's been no progress, no compliance. This has been since July of 2017. He's asking for a fine of $200 per day to a maximum of $15,000. And I tend to Mr. Stinson for any factual questions.
To a maximum of what now?
Oh, I'm sorry, $20,000. 20.
Can I see those photographs again? Okay, refresh my memory. I dealt with this. This wasn't at the August meeting. This was the July meeting. This guy told me all sorts of things were going to happen.
Correct. John Stinson again, code inspector with the city. Yes, it's a metal roof. There it is. Like I said, the last time he was here, he had finally got a contractor lined up, and he said the commencement date was August 8th. and these pictures are from Thursday. So there has been no action taken. The permits have been applied for. However, the work has not been done.
Was he here at the August meeting?
No, sir. Permits have been issued on 6/15.
August 14 order signed. That's why I was wondering if he was at the August meeting. Okay. Doesn't matter. All right. That's okay. All right. Do we have any idea why the respondent's not done more? Have we heard from him?
Not that I can say. No, sir.
And this has been going on since July of last year.
Correct.
Now, is that all a blue tarped roof, or is the black parts the parts that need to be replaced, or is it the blue, or neither indicative of anything?
The blue is the actual roof. It's okay. The metal. The brown is the absence of the metal roof. That's the dry end or whatever that material is that's under the metal roofing.
All right. Noting the absence of the respondent, based on our inspector's testimony, I'm going to fine the respondent the sum of $200 per day, commencing September 6, 2018, and continuing to accrue each day thereafter until the amount of the fine has reached the sum of $20,000 or the property has been brought into compliance. Very good. Thank you. Case number 6, Essie Jackson Grayson. Anyone for the respondent? What say the city?
Ms. Vakelja, the inspector in this case is John Stinson. Mr. Stinson reports that this property remains in noncompliance. He's asking for a fine to be imposed of $250 per day to a maximum of $15,000. I tender Mr. Stinson for any factual information that you need.
Well, that's not pretty. What is this property? Is it a single-family residence?
Yes, sir, single-family home.
And where is Wildwood Street? Not that it matters.
It's off of Mason, just east of Clyde Morris, on the north side of Mason.
And we still have outside storage?
Yes, sir. The last inspection was performed on 9/4.
Any communication with the property owner?
No, sir.
We have no idea what the problem is?
I have no idea, sir.
And the proposed fine is what, $250 a day?
Yes, sir.
Is that what I heard? Until up to what,
$10,000? Plus the one-time $250. Because it's a rental property as well.
No, I'm sorry. This is an indicator of business tax receipt. Definitely.
Oh, the BT. I'm sorry. Okay. I'm sorry. Misspoken. We'll just keep it at $250 a day.
Do we have any idea why we've gotten no action from the respondent?
No, sir.
This case originally was begun or started by a former inspector. She got no contact. My re-inspection attempted contact as well. The property was in that state when I inspected it. I assumed someone might be there, but I got no answer at the door. Left the door hanging and still no response.
Do we know if S.E. Jackson Grayson exists?
To my knowledge, that's his property.
I mean, does the property appear to be occupied?
Yes, it does.
Oh, all right. Okay. All right. Noting the absence of the respondent, based upon our inspector's testimony, I'm fining the respondent the sum of $250 per day, and that fine will continue to accrue until such time as the amount of the fine has reached the sum of $10,000 or the property has been brought into compliance. Very good. Case number 7 is in compliance. Case number 8 is in compliance. Case number 9, Nicholas J. and Amy Militello. Anyone here for the respondent? What say the city?
Ms. McKelton, the inspector in this case is John Stinson. Mr. Stinson reports that the property is in noncompliance, and he's asking that we're amend to the next cutoff. Now, I would tender Mr. Stinson for further factual information.
Good morning again.
All the violations have been corrected on this property except for a survey that's being required by the building department. As soon as they have the survey, they'll be able to close out the permit.
Do we know if that's in the works?
Yes, sir, it is.
All right. Then I will, based on our inspector's report, I will amend our current order of noncompliance to allow the respondent until October 3, 2018 to come into compliance or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number 10, Fred J. Hoffman, trustee of the Hollywood Trust.
Good morning.
Morning.
Fred Hoffman, which address do you want? 882 East Coquina Drive, Daytona Beach. Yes.
Okay, this matter is here for the imposition of a fine, so let's hear from the city.
Yes, Mr. McKelton. The inspector in this case is Mark Jones. Mr. Jones reports that the property was recently inspected on September 6th. There were some minor things that needed to be taken care of as far as compliance. He's asking that we amend to the next cutoff for the property to be brought into compliance.
Who's asking?
I'm sorry, the inspector, Mark Jones,
okay,
is requesting that we amend to the next cutoff.
All right. Mr. Hoffman, you got any problem with that?
Possibly. Let's see, the front unit, number one, the GFCIs were done, the smoke alarms were done. It was taught, was on the floor, tenant didn't tell me anything about it, so that was fixed the same day. I have a cracked glass in the bathroom, and that needs to be fixed, and then some bad wood at the rear door. That shouldn't be a problem. Okay, the rear unit had some holes in the wall, which the tenant did not report to me, as in the rental agreement. There was a weather seal for the rear door. I don't think that's going to be necessary because the day before I put on a lock set, and then when Mr. Jones gets there, open the door, and all the screws are out of the middle and the bottom hinge. And I was like crazy. So what I did, because it was fine the day before, I gave them an eviction notice. As to the, I'm going to put them out. I mean, there's no working it out because the holes have not been fixed in the walls. And then that's the hinge thing. That's not even on that one. That was given a few days before that. So tomorrow morning I can go down to the city or to the clerk's office and file the eviction because there's a 3-day notice for money damages also. So that's easier to do than the noncompliance there. So I generally don't go into rental units during an eviction. So, and then I need to get a plaster man. I'm not a plaster guy, so a drywall guy. So other than that, everything is pretty much, let's see, the holes in the wall, the doors, that was on. I did that right away, right after the inspector left. Bad wood, the rear door. That's the only other thing, bad wood in the rear door and the holes. But that's in the bedroom. They're still there. I don't like to go in during an eviction, so I don't know how long the eviction is going to take. Hopefully it won't take too long because the 3-day notice period is over as of tomorrow morning. So that's kind of up to the court. I can't forcefully make them allow me to go in there.
Well, assume you got in. Would you have the work done by October 3rd?
I have a plaster. Probably not, because I do have a plaster guy. The door, that shouldn't be a problem. The bad wood, that's the only other thing. But I need I need to be able to get in there to open the door to do that.
So you're telling me your tenant is keeping you from doing that?
Well, it's been suggested that I don't go near the tenants during the eviction process. Other than that, there shouldn't be any problem. Like I said, everything else was done within like 2 days after the inspection. And I don't think the plaster will take too long because that's what he does. I mean, so that won't take too long. I just need access. And I can't force him to give me access.
All right, well, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to order the respondent to come into compliance by October 3, 2018, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Now, that having been said, here's what you need to do. If your tenant prolongs your inability to get access, you make sure you keep a record of that so you can tell me and the inspector that.
Okay.
Or if it delays you to where the people that you do have lined up to work, you can't get in there before October 3, and you let me know that if need be, and you let the inspector know that.
Yes, sir.
So we're going to work toward the October 3 date. I understand you have a tenant that complicates the situation, but we're all going to work toward that date, and most importantly of all, you're going to just document whatever you need to document between now and October 3, so that if we're back here and someone's griping about you not having been done by October 3rd, you can say, well, Mr. Vakelge, that tenant wasn't out until like the middle of September or the third week, whatever it may be. You just let me know that. So we will call October 3, 2018 for the time being aspirational, but I'm still going to hold your feet to the fire to get the job done. But more importantly of all, if due to circumstances beyond your control, you're not able to get in there and do that work, just please make a record of it so you can let me know that if and when the need arises.
Yes, sir.
Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Case number 11, Craig Conway. Anyone here for the respondent? What say the city?
Mr. McKelvey, the inspector is Mark Jones. Mr. Jones reports that this is a case where windows were installed without permits. The permits have been pulled. They were scheduled for a reinspection today. So as of this very moment, he's in noncompliance. However, the inspector would ask that we amend to the next cutoff.
Based on the city's presentation, I will order the respondent to come into compliance by October 3, 2018. Or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number 12, Joyce Dixon as trustee of the Joyce Dixon Revocable Trust.
Joyce Dixon, 712 Northern Drive, Lake Park, Florida, 33403. I do.
All right, this matter is here for the imposition of a fine, so let's hear from the respondent first. I'm sorry, let's hear from the city first.
Okay, I'm sorry. Ms. Vakel, the inspector, it's Mark Jones. This property has been the first initial notification in this property is October 2017. There's been numerous failed inspections. It's actually scheduled for and pending another re-inspection. The inspector really believes we're to this point of it's just not happening. It hasn't happened, and a little too late. An inspector is asking for a $100 a day fine to a maximum of $15,000. But we do acknowledge that we have a scheduled reinspection for tomorrow, so that may not be the appropriate thing at this point.
Scheduled reinspection for what purpose?
To
determine compliance or to determine whether there's more things to be inspected?
I'd have to look to the inspector.
Mark Jones, City of Daytona. We're still trying to get the rental inspection finalized. We've inspected it three times previously, and each time the items haven't been 100% corrected. Hopefully tomorrow everything will be corrected, but that was our hope the other two inspections that we had.
Okay. Give me an idea as to what we're lacking.
What we were lacking the last time was door hardware, door busted, blue painter's tape over an electrical outlet, some finishes, some exterior wire that was not in conduit. Nothing of major, it's just hasn't been completed.
Okay. So the city's proposing a $100 fine up to what now?
Up to $15,000.
Okay, what say the respondent?
I haven't called for an inspection. Everything is done. The last thing was where I was at was a window. I had to get a permit for the window, and that was done. And the tenant is not letting me in there. She must have called for inspection. I didn't call for inspection because I don't want to get myself in trouble by going there. But I told Mr. Jones that the window was completed, and that was like maybe 2.5 weeks ago. So the stuff that need to be done, I have no problem. I'm in the process of evicting her. We go to court on the 20th.
You're in the process of evicting her?
Yes.
And you go to court when?
The 20th of September.
So you're telling me your tenant's the holdup?
Well, she told me she was going to have someone there for the window inspection. There was no one there. So we did an inspection. We was able to get through the inspection, and it passed.
Okay.
Because I had to,
Mr. Jones, you had any contact with this tenant?
Yes, sir. She is the one who scheduled the inspection for tomorrow.
Okay.
She has been the representative who has been there every time I've done an inspection.
Okay. I feel like a volleyball suspended midair above a net here. So how do we get this thing done?
Well, Ms. Dixon doesn't live in the area, right? This is a question.
Ms. Dixon doesn't live in the area, does she?
No, but I've been doing everything up until she said the door slid back and everything else has been done, and I have been trying to comply. I mean, Mr. Jones have passed everything, but the tape that's on the electrical box, she said the door slid over. I think it's more like the tenant, because when she moved there, she did a lot of crazy stuff, and I've taken care of that because I had to comply with the city. So I have done that. The last meeting we was in, I was supposed to, the contractor pulled the permit. It has passed, and I was waiting for her to move out to finish up.
I have no problem if we want to go ahead and continue it to the next cutoff with the possibility of your, number one, evicting the tenant, and I have an inspection scheduled for tomorrow, so.
Is it your intent to evict this tenant?
Yes, sir. The woman for inspection, she knows the job hasn't been completed. She didn't even allow me in there for the window, so I don't know why she's calling for inspection unless she's taking care of everything. Because so far she haven't did nothing but to tear it up. So, and Mr. Jones ended up finding me for not being completed.
Okay. Do you have an attorney representing you in this eviction proceeding?
No, sir. We have been to a mediation, and she was supposed to deposit money in there. So far, she has not done that, so I'm following through with the final injunction. So I don't see why it's a need for Mr. Jones to go out there and have me fine again, you know, when I'm sold with the stuff that he had me to do. I have complied with everything for, except for the last few things that need to be done.
And what's the problem with the last few things that need
she
to be
done? She won't allow me in there. She has five small kids.
A couple of these things were on the exterior.
On the exterior? No, sir. No,
oh,
sir.
I'm sorry. I misunderstood. Weren't a couple of these things on the exterior of the property?
Yes,
I mean,
sir.
I'm not trying to start a fight out there on the property. Okay, is it your sense that we've got a landlord-tenant issue in the backdrop here?
It sounds like it. I have been dealing typically with the tenant who's called for the inspections, and then I've talked with the property owner, talked with her last month when we went.
And has the property owner made corrections and improvements?
It was a considerable list when we first started. Yes.
So we've got effort on behalf of the property owner.
Yes.
We're down here to the, hopefully, the end. And it looks like we've got a little tug of war going on here. Okay. And you've commenced eviction proceedings. You're assuming she's going to be gone.
Yes, sir.
Shortly after that.
Yes, because she had to follow up with the mediation. But I have done everything that Mr. Jones, and when I do it, she calls for inspection, being I stay in South Florida. I'm not able to run up and down the road. But I am the ones that have been doing everything, taking care of everything.
Okay. Well, in recognition of the fact that the property owner has made corrections and improvements, and apparently there's something of an issue between her and the tenant, given the pending eviction proceedings, I'm just going to go ahead and amend our previous order of noncompliance to require the respondent to come into compliance by October 3, 2018, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. If I come here on October 9th and you stop the eviction proceedings, or we haven't made any more progress, then I'll be considering a fine.
Yes, sir.
I can work with you to a certain extent, in recognition of the fact that the inspector over here is giving you credit for having done stuff, which is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to breach of the peace out there either by jamming you into doing something that could get ugly.
Mm-hmm.
So follow through on your eviction proceedings. If everything goes according to Hoyle, you should have time to bring it into compliance by October 3, because it sounds like there's very little left to be done. Otherwise, we'll talk about it on October 9th.
Yes, sir.
All right, good luck to you.
Thank you.
Okay, Joyce Dixon as trustee of the Joyce Dixon Revocable Trust. Now we're talking 310 Marion Street, unit number 4. All right.
Ms. McKelcher, the inspector is Mark Jones. Mr. Jones reports this is a bit of a different situation. This property remains in noncompliance. It has some electrical hazards and other concerns. Mr. Jones is asking that a fine be imposed of $250 per day to a maximum of $15,000. Even after he had informed her of the violations, she's added new tenants, and so Mr. Jones is asking for the fine. I'll attend to Mr. Jones if you have any additional factual questions.
Okay, what is the issue with this property now?
This started out as a tenant complaint back in April. Inspected the property. There was numerous items, electrical problems, no smoke detectors, deadbolts on the door were keyed locked. I did have another inspection with the owner, and on August 31st, and there was very minimal items that had been corrected, and a new tenant was now living there.
New tenant. Had the property been vacant for a while?
I do not know. From the time the original tenant filed the complaint, I attempted to call her back at the number she gave me, and I did not get a return call. So we've got a tenant making complaints.
We inspect. We find all these problems. These problems haven't been corrected, and now we have a new tenant.
Correct.
Okay. All right, Ms. Dixon, this one may be a little more interesting.
That's not how it went. Mr. Jones.
Well, explain it to me.
The last meeting we was in, Mr. Jerome McCord was out there first. Mr. Jones wanted to come out there to see the complaints. I called him. We did. He looked at the place, and he saw what needed to be done. And he saw that I had did a few things. But it's kind of hard to get in there with the tenants in there, tearing it up as fast as you doing the work. But I have been going in there, doing what I need to do. That's also under eviction. I filed that today. But I have been going in there doing work.
Do you have contractors doing this work?
Yes, sir. I can't do it. Yes, sir.
I mean, this is a pretty lengthy list of things to be done.
Yes, sir.
And we think they can be done by October 3rd?
I have no idea. It should be able to be done. Again, this complaint has been going on for a few months, and it hasn't gotten completed. So I do not know. I believe physically it could be done with a qualified contractor, but I can't speak any further than that.
So that when I first got notice of that was about a month and a half ago, the first notice I received. And when I received the notice,
have a tenant in there now, and you've started eviction proceedings?
Yes, sir.
And when do you expect to have this tenant evicted?
I just put that in today. And normally they do mediation, but Mr. Jones was there, and he saw that I have been doing some things. I am going to comply with the city, whatever need to be done. It's just that once you get them in there, it's hard to do work when they allow you in there.
All right. Well, unfortunately, they're your problem.
But if you look at the date when it was first written up.
So the first order of compliance, of noncompliance we have was August 16th? Is that the first order of noncompliance we're dealing with here?
No, that appears to be correct.
Yeah.
That appears to be correct.
Okay, why did you move a new tenant into the property?
I had not received notice that there was things that needed to be done. I heard that someone had been there, but they never sent me notice until the new tenant had been there after I got notice. After I got notice. Not before, after.
And now you're evicting this tenant?
Yes, sir.
And we have a healthy list of things to be done, including life safety items, and we don't doesn't feel like we're real confident they can be done by October 3rd.
So I will...
Especially if we have a tenant to deal with.
Well, I will come in compliance. It's just a matter of getting him out of there. I was there this weekend. I plan on going this weekend as well.
All right. I'm going to schedule this one for a progress report on October 9, 2018. If this tenant leaves, you do not replace him.
Yes, sir.
The property will not be occupied, utilized for any purposes whatsoever until it's brought into compliance.
Yes, sir.
You're on notice now of all the things that have to be done.
Mm-hmm.
You tell me you've got eviction proceedings pending.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to require that the property remain unoccupied and unutilized until it's in compliance. So, between now and by October 9, 2018, you're going to report back, hopefully, that your tenant's gone, you're in possession of the property's secured, it's not occupied, and you're going to then tell me specifically, if you don't have it in compliance by then already, how much more time it's going to take. And I'm hoping it won't be very long after October 9th.
Yes.
Failing that, I'll have no option left but to start hearing these gentlemen out for their request for a fine.
Yes, sir. Also, I want to say that if I call Mr. Jones is not telling the truth about me not complying. I keep my phone with me 24/7. If I get a call, I do respond, unless I'm in the hospital or dead. Otherwise, I respond to my calls. I have called Mr. Jones.
How many times have you been dead and received a call, just out of curiosity?
I'm just saying, that's the only way I would not return my call. So I don't know where that comes from, because I return my calls.
Okay. All right. Well, you and Mr. Jones are going to improve your communication skills. But more importantly, you're going to evict your tenant.
Yes.
You're not going to rent it again.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to secure the property until all these things have been brought into compliance. And on October 9th, hopefully you're going to tell me that you've not only got your tenant out there, but you've started making progress on this list. And at that time, you'll tell me specifically what little more time you may need to come into compliance.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't have something, and if that tenant's still there,
mm-hmm,
and we don't have something more specific, then that's as far as I can work with you.
Okay.
Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Case number 14, Cook Rentals, LLC. Anyone here for the respondent? What say the city?
See what he thinks. Ms. Vickelter, the inspector is Mark Jones. Mr. Jones reports that there's still not a rental license. However, the respondent has submitted a letter indicating she won't be renting. Unfortunately, the letter doesn't have the correct address, so as far as which property she's referring to. And so it doesn't really resolve the case because she didn't put the right information in the letter. It's our understanding, it appears her intent is to inform us in writing that she will not be renting and would have no need for a rental license. The inspector is hesitant to accept that as being in compliance until he has a letter that accurately reflects that.
Okay. All right. So, all right, so failure to obtain a rental license, and they say, okay, I'm not going to rent this. All right, so what does the city do when it's confronted with a property owner who says, I'm not renting it?
Well,
once we get past the I don't believe you part.
Well, we generally give them a format that says that it's currently vacant, it'll remain vacant and I won't be renting it.
And I'll inspect it periodically, and if I find a tenant in there, you're going to get dragged down in front of the special magistrate.
That's correct. And in this circumstance, it doesn't even say that it's vacant, which leads to inspect the necessity to go out and verify that it's not, that there is no tenant there, and to even start to rely on the letter. And as I said, the letter is accurate and it's not reflecting, and I hadn't looked at it, but I'm being told it's not advising of the correct address. So it's not adequate right now. So the inspector's position is without the proper reference to the...
Well, I guess the more important question or more specific question is, how does one come into compliance by basically saying, I'm not going to rent anymore?
Well, the alternative is, if they're not holding it out...
Is there a process or procedure here at the city?
No, there's no other procedure. If they're not holding it out as a rental, and if it's vacant, and they give us a statement, an affidavit saying that they're not renting, then we rely on that unless we find... Yes.
All right, so what is that? All right, so as far as this proceeding is concerned, what you're telling me is the document you got's ineffective.
That's correct. So as of right now, it's still in non-compliance. Our intent was to request imposition of a fine prior to receiving this. Having received this and being informed of this intention of non-rental, we'd much rather go in and confirm that and allow for our next cutoff for us to go and confirm that it either isn't being rented, or if it is, then we'll come back and ask for a fine.
Does your receipt of a written letter like that then constitute compliance?
That triggers for us, yes, that it's in compliance, and we would issue an affidavit of compliance.
I will amend our current order of noncompliance to allow the respondent until October 3, 2018, to come into compliance. Compliance in this context would include written certification from the property owner delivered to the city that the property is not going to be rented, utilized, or occupied by anyone other than the property owner themselves. Is that about right?
That's about right, yes.
Tell me what you want to say.
Well, I mean, they can't have tenants. I mean, of course, if
okay,
they have family...
There are no tenants permitted.
Okay, that's enough. That says it all. I'm good. Thank you.
Well, I guess what we just don't want it occupied or utilized by tenants.
Right. Yes, sir.
All right. June, we'll figure out how to do that. I just want something to where they don't just give us a piece of paper going down the road.
Right. Our perspective is that there's two ways to comply. One is to obtain a rental license or to stop renting.
Yep. All right.
Thank you.
Okay. Folks, we are right at our halfway mark. We're going to take about a 5-minute break, and then we'll resume.
Okay, so we're confirmed that you
can.
Yeah. Okay. And as far as we know, so as far as we know, and we're willing to take a position and lean at least towards due process, it's an involuntary inability to be here. So,
yes, and that's what I'm saying. Melissa
don't hear that. Yes, yes. Right. And he has a right to be heard, especially, yeah. Especially since it is a fire. Yeah.
Which one?
Hold on.
Two point permit. I mean, he didn't say it has to remain vacant or cease open utility out. No, he said.
Well, I mean,
and he could not leave a place vacant. But when you've been affected, there's a safety issue.
Well, no, but that's great. And that's why I was concerned that if he just says it's going to be fake, but then it's a family thing. So I don't know what to say.
I mean, if under a normal grocery district,
yes, this is different.
This is no better.
How you doing?
Good.
Oh. I was in trial right around now. Who did I run into? I think I ran into Tony down there. Here, let's go. All right, case number 15, Reginald T. Copeland. Anyone here for the respondent? Last time y'all were here, Mr. Jackson stated the inspector reports the property failed previous inspections, asked the property to be found in noncompliance. Jones say inspection was done and Mr. Marone was provided a detailed list of items that need repaired. Mr. Jones say Mr. Marone feels repairs could be completed by September 24, and here we are. Do I see a respondent out there? Looks like I don't.
Mr. Marone shouldn't have been part of that.
Is
that what you were saying, Mr. Marone?
Last time y'all were here on Reginald T. Copeland. I'm sorry, I'm on the wrong case.
Cool.
There we go. I'm on the wrong name. All right. What say the city?
Mr. McKelvey, this is here for imposition of a fine, which would be a fine hearing. The inspectors, Tom Klieg, we have knowledge that Mr. Copeland is not available involuntarily through recent arrest, at least, and although we're not absolutely certain of his exact status today, this is recent enough that we believe we would rather lean towards the direction of being sure we have due process. We know that he has been volatile and wants to be heard, and so we would much rather amend this than to go forward in his absence, knowing that he has been involuntarily separated from
Involuntarily separated.
Man,
is he in jail?
The
last
scout, know,
the big house.
Yes, he was. He was recently arrested, and he very well may still be in jail or hospital based on the circumstances. So we're not sure which, but we do know that he was recent enough that we are asking that we amend to the next cutoff.
Okay, what are we amend? What are we having to amend?
This is a failure to obtain a rental license
and parking.
Failure to obtain a business access.
as far as what the steps are, I have to look to the inspector. Mr. Klee can speak to that. And as you can see on the next case, it's parking on the grass, which is also his.
City's getting tough when it comes to enforcing that parking on the grass thing. Okay, well, in any event, I don't know what you need to amend, but that's fine. If you want to, what do you want to do? Withdraw it, table it, continue it?
No, just amend it to the next cutoff. I mean, it was, yeah.
Okay. All right. Noting the absence of Mr. Copeland for reasons I still don't quite understand given the description, we'll allow the respondent until October 3, 2018 to come into compliance or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number 16, Reginald T. Copeland. Is he out yet?
No, sir.
I assume it's the same circumstances?
Same circumstance.
Are you wanting to amend the previous order of noncompliance for this one as well?
Yes, sir.
Then I will amend our previous order of noncompliance to allow Mr. Copeland until October 3, 2018 to come into compliance or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. New cases. Jack Morris, Jr., 708 Kingston Avenue. Anyone here for the respondent? What say the city?
The Vacalgian Inspector is Tom Klieg. This is a determination of compliance or noncompliance. Mr. Klieg reports that the property is in noncompliance. He's asking for next cutoff for the property to be brought into compliance.
Outside storage, repeat violation. Okay. Okay, this is a new case. Okay, let's hear from Mr. Klieg.
Good morning. Officer Kleckberg, McCurdon, Tools, Arm, File. This came in as a utilities complaint from the water department for twofold parking on, they couldn't get their vehicles to look for the meter, and also the storage where their actual meter was, they couldn't get to read it. Prior case from Officer Stenson shows this obvious, next picture will show like a restaurant type cooler right there on the left. It's been there for 2 years. So.
Okay, very good. All right. Based on the testimony of our inspector, I find the respondent in noncompliance. Order the respondent to come into compliance by October 3, 2018, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number 18, John R. Barger, or Barger. Yes, sir. If you would please state your name and be sworn.
John R. Barger, 597 Andrew Street, Ormond Beach, Florida.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you are about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Okay, Mr. Barger, do you agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Do I agree that the violations occurred?
Existed or occurred. Failure to obtain rental license.
Now, which question you want me to respond to? Failing to for the rental license or that the violations occurred?
The nature of the violation is failure to obtain rental license. True
I
or
agree
false?
That I failed to... I failed to acquire a rental license based on circumstances that I'd like to, and that's why I'm here.
Go ahead.
Okay. First of all, the problem with the violations on my house was caused by retaliatory notice to the city by a disgruntled tenant who was evicted. As a matter of fact, I'd already gave the tenant all his money back in lieu of going through court proceedings. The day that I gave the tenant his money and then he moved out, he stole the refrigerator, stole the stove, smashed down the fence, and then reported it as a violation of the code when there was lots of fences down with Hurricane Irma. But nevertheless, Mr. McCoy responded to the fence damage. And my rapport with him was very good. I understand, as a matter of the city's policy, that when they're summoned to go to check out a violation, they bring their clipboard and everything that's on the list gets checked. So I had a full page full of violations, minor violations, like the jelly jar light didn't have a cover on it, or the basement, wasn't a basement, it's a crawl space, didn't have the cover affixed. The smoke detector was 19 inches too far away from the, and I had it in the hallway, had to go inside. A bunch of minor violations, and my philosophy was, you go along to get along. Mr. McCoy was extremely cooperative. We worked together very well. On December 28, 2017, the premises was final inspected and everything was clear. There was no violations. Now my problem is this: I have made payments for what I thought were rental licenses. I gave you this last one here, and I'm not familiar with your acronyms. BTR fees for a single family, $14, highlighted in yellow. I believe I've paid those fees. My point is that I never, not ever, did I receive a license from the city of Daytona Beach. But I did, you know that it was due, and ignorance of the law is no excuse. I went and spoke with the rental program technician, Karen Baum, and she told me that the reason I could not get a rental license was I did not pay the fees associated with an inspection that was attempted and no one was home. Now, that's why I'm here. I have no objection to the City of Daytona Beach code inspectors doing a drive-by and attempting to do an inspection. I don't have a problem with that. But it's not right not to notify me that you're coming. It's not right not to send me a notice or call me on the phone and then expect me to pay a $100 inspection fee if nobody's there. And that's the case. So I did receive this bill and a note handwritten by Karen Baum that she would not accept payment for my license until those past due inspection fees were paid. Now, I took it upon myself to go visit the city manager three times. Three times he was unavailable to see me. Three times I saw Bobby, one of his assistants. I also saw Miss Shirley. Both of these ladies told me that they would take care of it. They never did. The next thing I got was a notice from Mr. McCoy saying that I was in violation of not paying the fees. I'll gladly, very happily pay my occupational fee and my rental license fees. And unlike the other tenant, my house is empty and vacant as well, but I'll pay it anyway. But the third thing I wanted to point out is on these inspections, if they did a drive-by and my tenant was working, I have no control of that. They did not send me a notice, and I asked the city manager's assistance. I said, if they sent me a notice, favor me with a copy. If they didn't send me a notice and made a phone call, the city has a call log. Show me where a phone call was made to my number. Obviously, in three trips to the city manager's office, nobody could produce that, and they just continued to blatantly try to use bureaucratic bullying on me. And I thought, well, if we're going to go that way, I'll just let the magistrate make the final decision. But I did want to point this out, that they started a new inspector by the name of Steve Alderman. The first week that he was there, he didn't have a car, he didn't have a uniform, and he didn't have an ID. He attempted to inspect the house, I'm assuming that. He was at my tenant's door,
and she refused him admittance. And I told her that was okay because if somebody's our constitutional right is to be secure and safe in our home and our fireside. If you don't have a car, you don't have a license, and you don't have an ID, you know, I don't expect my tenant to let them in. That's my point, Your Honor, and I'm at your mercy.
What say the city?
Mr. McKelcher, the respondent is correct that the reason we're here is that he doesn't have a rental license. He doesn't have a rental license because of his refusal to pay the fees necessary to obtain the license. Those
he
fees,
says he's being charged for 3 rental reinspections he wasn't aware of.
That's what he's saying. I'll call the inspector, Steve Alderman, who attempted those rental inspections, and let him speak to what efforts he made or what knowledge he has of how these were set up. Steve Alderman.
Good morning, Mr. McKelcher. For the record, my name is Steve Alderman, inspector for the City of Daytona Beach. On my initial inspection, I believe these came through the building department or the rental department, and when I first showed up on the first inspection, I knocked on the door, and I believe I was still driving my Dodge because we were still driving our own personal vehicles. As far as the uniform, I'm sure I had it because it's well enough into the time, and somebody else would have noticed it besides me. But when I first initially showed up, the lady was surprised that I was there to do an inspection and had no idea why. So I gave her a card and I left, and it was rescheduled. I went back again. She did not answer the door. I went back again, and she did not answer the door. And that's how it progressed.
This is the tenant we're talking about?
Correct.
Okay. Did we make any effort to contact Mr. Barger here to tell him that there was an inspection coordinated?
No,
with the
I
problem?
Did not. That I was called. I was told to go out there and do the inspections.
I understand.
Procedurally, if I may, Mr. McKelcher,
I'm sure.
Procedurally, how do you get this notification to do an inspection?
Well, initially, I mean, it wasn't even my zone. I don't remember how I or who specifically, but I'm sure it came through the rental department because they weren't even my. It wasn't even in my zone.
Do you do drive-by rental inspections? We just drive by a place.
Not without knocking on the door.
So if you went to do an inspection, would it have been scheduled?
Yes, but not by me.
Okay, and would you have actually made contact at the residence, knocked on the door?
Of course, that's the process. I have to stop.
So, Mr. Alderman attempts to inspect this property 3 times, speaks to a tenant each time. I'm not hearing anybody communicating anything to the owner about an inspection or the need for an inspection. And I'm smelling a little bureaucratic between the cracks here. Does somebody else want to testify?
Jerome McCoy, code inspector for the city. The process for the rental program is that all rental inspections are scheduled. That's whether it's through the tenant or through the owner. We never go out to a property just doing a drive-by. That's not our process. Everything is scheduled.
Okay, well, this respondent has indicated that there was work to be done in order to qualify for the rental license. And he did the work?
I didn't do the inspections on the previous to that. He's speaking of a separate case. Previous to that an inspection was done on that was complaint driven through the tenant that was there at the time, in which he did evict that tenant. He's combining those cases somewhat, but the inspections by Inspector Alderman was done through schedules. Those are scheduled rental inspections. That's not like I said, it's not a drive-by. We don't do rental inspections on drive-bys. It's we don't do drive-bys, period. if it's a tenant complaint driven, we don't have to address the owner at that time.
So we have a tenant complaining.
Yes.
A tenant coordinating inspections, and a tenant no-showing him.
I'm not blaming
anybody. I just want to make sure I got the facts straight.
If the tenant is no-showing, I can't speak to that because
I understand the tenant's his responsibility.
Yes.
It just stinks.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Kelger, the section of our code is 26297, and I can provide that to you for your review.
Go ahead. Looking at section 26-297C as the authority for this $100 charge?
Yes, I believe so. I'm not looking at it, but I believe so.
I am looking at it. A reinspection fee of $100 will be assessed for every reinspection after the second inspection if the failure to correct noted code violations is due to owner-manager negligence. The inspector never got in to determine there was a failure to correct code violations, much less who was the cause of those violations. And who's the manager? Well, I'm actually a little more... Well, never mind. Never mind. There you go. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Your Honor, I'd like to...
I'm done. Take this back. This is yours, too. I don't know what to tell you about the fees, but as far as this is concerned, I'm finding you in compliance. So I'm dismissing this matter.
You say you're finding me in compliance?
As far as this citation is concerned. I don't know where you go as far as your tug of war with the city of Daytona Beach over $300 worth of charges that, quite frankly, I find suspect. And I'm a little dismayed that you haven't gotten a little more cooperation, not from these folks, but from the folks over their heads to whom you took your complaint. And having looked at that statute, I think you have a legitimate question to ask. I'm not passing judgment on that. I'm just saying it's a legitimate question, and you at least deserve a little more attention in that regard than you've gotten. So as far as this particular notice of violation is concerned, I'm dismissing it. That doesn't mean you're not still subject to the rental license laws and ordinances, and you are probably on your way to a bureaucratic maelstrom with a bunch of people talking about $300 owed in inspection fees. But I can't help.
I can't my license today. I'm going out of town tomorrow. But
well, then I suggest you go down there and tell them you're prepared to pay for a license, and that as far as you're concerned, you're disputing those charges. And anything beyond that, all I can tell you to do is consult an attorney.
I notice that there was no violations found on December 28th. These re-inspections, I'm assuming, came afterwards. In other words, it inspected once, and it finalized and approved. Then a few months later, they want a re-inspection. But I'm noticing on the bills, there's additional charges for re-inspections, and I'm wondering, I've talked to a partner of mine that has some properties. You know Buzzy Wendell, I'm sure. And He pays the $30 re-license fees, and there is no more. Why am I doing these re-inspections after re-inspections? I mean, if it's inspected and it's approved once, why is that not good enough?
Well, as far as the inspection of this property is concerned, you're here, the inspector's over there. I don't know why somebody doesn't coordinate that before we all leave the building, for starters, so that you can at least mechanically get that done. Then as far as these $300 worth of charges, you do whatever you see fit. If I could extinguish them, I would. I don't know that I have that authority.
Thank you. I thought maybe you did.
Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Case number 19, Anthony Laversia. Anyone here for the respondent? Not seeing a respondent, what say the city?
Ms. McKelter, the inspector informed me that we have a notice problem with this case, and so we'd like to continue it to the next meeting that we did not provide adequate notice.
All right, based on the city's request, I will continue this matter to our October 9, 2018 meeting. Case number 20, Cassandra Lee. Anyone here for the respondent? What say the city?
Same thing with this case as well. These are only two, but the same circumstance that we do have a notice problem, and so we would ask that this case be continued as well.
All right. I will continue this matter to our October 9, 2018 meeting as well. Case number 21 is in compliance. Case number 22, Harpreet Suri. Anyone here for the respondent?
She's not the respondent.
Oh.
She's the witness. Okay. Yeah.
Harpreet Suri. Not seeing a respondent. What say the city?
Okay. The inspector is Danny Garcia, and Mr. Garcia wants to report that he would like a finding of compliance, non-compliance, well-found finding. It is currently in compliance, but he would like the finding. Also, we have a neighbor who wanted to be heard who is present and would ask if she can be heard.
All right, let me hear from Mr. Garcia.
Okay.
Good morning, Mr. Bacalja. Code Enforcement Inspector Garcia, my credentials on file. The property is now in compliance. I spoke to the owner. He has withdrawn all of the rentals. He was doing short-term renting, and he submitted this. He wasn't able to attend, but he did submit a letter that he wanted to give you and showing of all the cancellations of all the tenants that he had rented to. We also have a neighbor that was that lives behind this owner, and she would like to say a few words basically of the past rentals with the previous owner and then this new owner doing the same thing, but he's indicated now that he is not going to be doing it anymore. He's going to do over 6 months or year-to-year rental.
All right.
Ann Hedberg, 337 Fordham Drive, Daytona.
You solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony that you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, we bought our house 22 years ago. We retired there. Nice neighborhood, modest but nice. Fixed our backyard all up, put in a pool, a swing, the whole works. And it was wonderful for the first 16 years, maybe 17. I didn't keep track. And then everything changed. It was so stressful at times. We talked about moving. It was so loud. And I would walk the dogs in the morning and go around because we share a fence. we share a back fence with these people. And there'd be three cars, four cars. I wrote down some of the dates here, and we called. Nothing was happening, so I didn't think anything would change. We talked about moving. So this is in 2017. May 6th, three cars. May 30th, two out-of-town cars. June 9th, very noisy. July 4th, new. July 18th, new. July 26th. This went on for several years. It was constant. And then they were approached, finally, and said they would be fined, a huge fine, every day that they rent. So they sold the house. They sold the people that bought the house, start doing the same thing. And that's what we've been living with again. So I wrote down some of the dates. They it's constant. There's like a sometimes 3 or 4 day break, and that's when we could go out. And like 4 years ago, my husband was diagnosed with Parkinson's, and then a year later, they said, no, it's not Parkinson's. It's something worse. And so he deteriorated. He died on this Easter, and I resent the fact that he could go outside. It's the only thing he could do is sit in his recliner. He could, with a walker and my help, go outside. So instead, he'd go in the garage and sit with the... And here we have this little paradise outside, and he couldn't enjoy it like the last year of his life. And it's not right. I don't know how the owners have the right to take away our peace and, you know, a normal life.
Very good. All right. And I'm certainly sorry for all those unfortunate circumstances. Now, that having been said, I find the respondent in noncompliance. Based on our inspector's report, I find also that the respondent is presently in compliance, but will further find that for every future violation, the respondent be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $5,000 per occurrence. Okay. Good luck to you, ma'am.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Case number 23, Jose F. Percy. Anyone here for the respondent?
Mr. LeCalge, this one's in compliance September 7th. The final inspection was done that date and passed.
Okay. Case number 24, Elvina Miller. Anyone here for the respondent?
Mr. LeCalge, the inspector's Daniel Garcia. Mr. Garcia reports that he's had no contact with anyone concerning the violations. He's asking for for noncompliance next cutoff in this case.
All right, Mr. Garcia, I presume you can confirm for me under oath that we've got damaged exterior surfaces, peeling, paint, roof, flashing, and drainage, broken windows, rubbish, garbage, trash, and debris, and the respondent has not attended to these matters?
Yes, sir. So
find the respondent in noncompliance. How long to come into compliance?
Say next cutoff.
Order the respondent to come into compliance by October 3, 2018, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number 25, Bulldog LLC. Anyone here for the respondent? We have a respondent.
Home address, Chris Cornelius, 290 Golden Saddle Lane, Ormond Beach. Cornelius. Yes.
Mr. Cornelius, do you agree this violation existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes.
All right, I find the respondent in noncompliance. All right, let me ask these gentlemen how long they think it should take for you to come into compliance.
Mr. McCalger, the inspector is Danny Garcia. Mr. Garcia reports that they're working on things to get this resolved, and he believes that they can be in compliance by next cutoff.
Mr. Cornez, the city thinks you ought to be able to take care of this by October 3rd. What do you say?
Yes.
Very good. Good, glad
the
to hear.
If I could, the part of the problem was I applied right after I was notified for my rental application, for a three-unit. As the property was sold to me as a three-unit, and then I was informed, I forget by who, that it was only a two-unit. And to do that, I'd have to get inspected and whatever and have affidavits. One of my tenants at the time was horrible. So she's moved out. And then in the meantime, her daughter and boyfriend broke in and changed the locks and got mail. So now I'm trying to get rid of them.
Code Officer Garcia again. It's a little difficult process there. They're trying to evict the third unit. It's a two unit, and they made a three unit, and that's why they weren't able to get the license. But now they're going to have that three unit, whoever's living there, their squatters, evicted, and once they get that, then they can move forward in doing the permits or license needed.
Shorter answer is yes. Everything should be fine. Tomorrow, I think I can go file for
All right, well, similar to what you probably heard me say to somebody else, we'll order the respondent to come into compliance by October 3, 2018, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Since you're dealing with a tenant in the eviction process, keep track of what goes on and when, and let the inspector know, or if need be, let me know. Because if things get squirrely during the eviction process and it costs you time, then we'll take that into consideration.
Thank you.
Good luck to you.
Okay. Yeah.
Case number 26, Beach Development Group, LLC. Anyone here for the respondent? What say the city?
Ms. Verkelgen, Inspector Stan Garcia. Mr. Garcia reports that the property remains in noncompliance. He's asking for next cutoff for the property to be brought into compliance.
Okay, let me hear from Mr. Garcia.
Inspector Garcia. I met with the owner of the property on Friday, and he reassured me that he is going to have all the exterior pressure cleaned, and he's going to secure the boards that are there and any openings of the windows. There's a window that's broken.
You're going to secure the boards. What does that mean?
The plywood that's there, it seems like it's on.
So it's not going away. It's just getting tightened up.
He's going to paint over it for right now.
Over the plywood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the police department's using that building as a some kind of activity, some training.
Whatever. No comment. Okay. So in any event, we're pressure cleaning, we're putting up our plywood, and then we're in compliance?
That's correct for now.
So is the police department using this building to train its officers as to how to deal with third world countries and what have you?
I was told that they're using it for training.
Training. Cool. All right. Well, I guess we'll pressure clean it and we'll tidy up the plywood. And that should be done by October 3rd?
Yes.
All right. I don't know if I did already, but I finally responded to be in noncompliance, ordered the respondent to come into whatever we're calling compliance these days by October 3, 2018, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number 27, Jones of Volusia, Incorporated. Anyone here on behalf of the respondent? What say the city?
Ms. Verkelgen, the inspector, is Mike Fitzgerald. Mr. Fitzgerald reports that he heard from the respondent for the first time this morning by a phone call, and the respondent says he can be in compliance by next cutoff. That was our request. So he's asking for noncompliance next cutoff for this case.
All right. Let me hear from Mr. Inspector Fitzgerald.
Good morning. My name is Mike Fitzgerald. My credentials are on file with the city.
Okay. So you've been out there to observe this damaged wooden fencing and the need for paint around the front door.
Yeah. So the fence is down and the front door needs to be painted. And I also told him the last time I was out there that grass needs to be cut. Just hasn't been written for that. But he says he'll have it done by the next cutoff.
All right. Based on our inspector's testimony, I find the respondent to be in noncompliance. Order the respondent to come into compliance by October 3, 2018, or return to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number 28, Tambra N. Davis, trustee or her successors in trust of the Tambra N. Davis Management Trust, dated June 1, 2005. Anyone here for the respondent?
Yes.
You got that long a title? We ought to have someone here.
Edward Hamby, Superintendent for GC Contract Services, 2995 North Ocean Shore Boulevard, Flagler Beach.
Raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide truth and
nothing
but truth?
I do.
Okay. Is it Mr. Hamby?
Hamby, yes.
Hamby. And by what authority are you here speaking on behalf of the respondent?
I'm the contract. I'm the project manager for remodeling her the roof caved in.
Very good.
New roof for it.
Counsel, you satisfied?
I'm satisfied.
All right. Okay. Do you agree this violation existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes, it is.
All right. I find the respondent in noncompliance. All right, Mr. City Attorney, how much time should be required to come into compliance?
I have to look to my inspector here, Mr. Fitzgerald. Mike Fitzgerald is the inspector. Looks like he's asking for November. Is that correct? I'll ask him to address you.
That would be the contractor, so he would give us a timeline
at
this point.
It's a permitting process. We got the trust engineering back. We're waiting for the final plan drawing. We got the customer signature. We're going to apply for the permit, and then however long it takes, as soon as can, we get started on it.
Well, you're the contractor. You know more about it than me, so how long does it take for all that to happen?
Well, it varies from city to city on how long. Once we get the permit, I've got a job in Deltona that's been 4 months trying to get a permit. Normally, it takes a week or two.
All right, so if everything goes well, and we're optimists around here, then how much time should it take before this is in compliance?
Probably 2 months, I would think.
2 months. All right. That puts us up to November 7, 2018. What say the city?
Now, what's the initial thought of the inspector? We're good with that.
Very good. All right. Then I will order the respondent to come into compliance by November 7, 2018 or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. And as I'm sure you heard me say countless times, due to the vagaries of permits and what have you, you start running short on time. Keep in touch with your inspector to let him know what's going on. He'll be your best friend if you come up short.
Okay. Thank
Good
you.
Luck to you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Case number 29, Promo 05 LLC.
Good morning.
Good morning. If you would please state your name and be sworn.
My name is Juan Petrizzo. It's 225 North Oriander. I do.
Okay, sir, do you agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes.
All right, I find the respondent in noncompliance. Mr. City Attorney, how much time should it take for this respondent to come into compliance?
Mr. McCallister, the inspector, is Mike Fitzgerald. Mr. Fitzgerald reports that there's a number of things he'll need permits for. He'll need a contract. He doesn't appear to have a contractor on board at this point. Not real sure about the time period. He's thinking maybe 2 months and suggesting the November cutoff. At least that's the inspector's perspective. Maybe even doing a progress report to make sure he's getting things done over the first month.
Okay. I'm sorry, your name again?
Juan Petrizzo.
All right. Sir, they're suggesting it should take you up to about November 7, maybe, to get this done. What say you to that?
I'm trying. I live in Fort Lauderdale and back and forth trying to find a general contractor. We just pulled a permit for the roof. Hopefully, we're going to start in the next couple days to do the roof. And then trying to find a general contractor, it's been very hard. I call people. They don't return calls. You know, I don't know anybody here. I even asked Mike to help me. If he knows anybody I can trust, everybody who comes, you know, just they want money up front. I don't know if I can trust. Are you already in this situation because I hired the wrong people?
All right, so you've got your roof permit applied for, or you
yes.
have it in hand?
Yes, I already had the permit.
Okay, so you are moving forward with the roof.
Yeah.
And your problem going forward is finding contractors to take care of everything else.
That's correct.
Is this property occupied at present?
It's been vacant for over 2 years.
Okay. All right, let's do this. I'll schedule this matter on our October 9, 2018 special magistrate meeting for a progress report. You don't have to be in attendance. You're welcome to be here if you want. Otherwise, you can communicate through the inspector. And perhaps from 30 days from now, we'll be a little closer to knowing when you might actually have a relatively firm compliance date in mind. So we'll talk about that then. In the meantime, the property is not to be rented, occupied, or utilized for any purposes whatsoever until it's brought into compliance.
I know that. I know. Right. It's being vacant for over 2 years.
All right. And I appreciate the work you've done on it so far and appreciate you moving forward on it. We're happy to work with you just as long as that continues.
Thank you.
Good luck to you.
Thank
you. Case number 30, Calvary Global Ministries Incorporated. Anyone here for the respondent? What say the city?
Mr. Kelton, the inspector is Mike Fitzgerald. Mr. Fitzgerald reports that the property is in non-compliance. He's asking for next cutoff for the property to come into compliance. Tender Mr. Fitzgerald. He had informed me that Mr. Berger wanted to be heard as well from the redevelopment, and so I don't know if he actually wants to be heard, but now that I see that he's in the room. Yes, okay, if you can come forward, please.
I do.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. This particular porch was covered up. I think that was part of the issue. Right.
The place looked with okay.
Name is Reed Berger, and I'm the redevelopment director. Sorry about that. And the porch you're looking at there, and that is.
Mr. Berger, let me just say this.
Yes.
We haven't said anything about what the violation is or anything. So
okay.
Because it's right on the very front end. So.
Really?
What do we actually, what's the violation of what needs to be
well,
done?
Well, you're the okay. code guy. You talk about
Michael Fitzgerald for the City of Daytona Beach, code enforcement. The property was cited for no permit for closing in this porch. And my understanding is I was talking to the contractor who's doing the work on the church at this time, and he was given the go-ahead to pull a permit, so that's coming this week. For the demolition and to put the porch back like it was.
Well, that's good news. If that's what's happening and it's restored back the way it was, then I don't have any issues with what they're doing to get the permit that they need to do that.
Okay, I'm lost. Is the yellow siding that I'm looking at, is that what was used to enclose what used to be a porch?
Yes. Right,
yes, sir.
Porch.
Okay, gotcha. And is this like in a historical district or something like
yes,
that?
Yes, sir. It's in the Seabreeze Historic District. It's a contributing building.
Who's the contractor that enclosed that?
We don't know. There was no permit, sir.
Calvary Global Ministries. Okay, when do I get to find them? How much time are they being given to restore that porch?
November cutoff, please. That'll give them time to get the permits and get the work done.
Have we spoken to a representative of Calvary Global Ministries Incorporated?
I have.
Who are we talking to?
It's a, what's her name? Miss
I cannot speak about the owner, but I've talked to a contractor that they've engaged, and this is somebody new that's come on scene. They're working on the church next door, and they totally get what's required of a historic building and restoring it. So I'm confident that they've found the right people. And as long as that same contractor is involved here, we should be able to accomplish what is intended, which is to bring it back to that historic look.
All right. So what is it you're looking for?
Compliance.
November cutoff.
Non-compliance.
Non-compliance next cutoff. Or November cutoff, sorry.
And what's supposed to happen between now and November 7?
They're going to pull their permits and demo the property where they closed it in and restore it back to the way it looked prior. And it is the same contractor, and he's doing an amazing job on the church itself.
This is the new contractor.
Yeah, the new contractor.
Not to be confused with whoever did that.
No, not.
All right. I will find the respondent in noncompliance, order the respondent to come into compliance by November 7, 2018, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number 31, Michael D. Molnar. Anyone here for the respondent? What say the city?
Mr. McKelvey, this is the inspector in this case is Mike Fitzgerald. Mr. Fitzgerald reports that the property is in non-compliance. Need one moment. This changed a little from our initial conversation. Mr. McKelvey, the inspector is Mike Fitzgerald. Mr. Fitzgerald wants to report that the property is currently in compliance. He would like for a finding of noncompliance for a will fine. And I would tender Mr. Fitzgerald.
Okay, Inspector Fitzgerald. Short-term rentals?
Yes, sir.
That you investigated?
I did.
Confirmed that it was going on?
I have.
And the respondent has since been instructed or advised not to do that anymore?
He has, and he has removed the ad, and I have an email stating that he has removed the ad, and he understands he cannot rent it other than full. If he's going to rent it, it has to be under the yearly.
Very good. All right.
Much or more. Yeah.
Based on our inspector's testimony, I find the respondent in noncompliance. Further find that the respondent is now presently in compliance, but that for every future violation, the respondent will be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $5,000 per occurrence. Case number 32, Helena Sanders. Anyone here for the respondent? What say the city?
Mr. McKelvey, the inspector is Steve Alderman. Mr. Alderman reports that the property remains in noncompliance. He's asking for an ex cutoff for the property to be brought into compliance. Attend to Mr. Alderman.
Okay.
He has spoken with the owner.
All right. Inspector Alderman, you have confirmed for yourself that we have damaged fence and loose siding?
Correct.
All right, I find the respondent to be in noncompliance, and it's your belief that the respondent should be able to come into compliance by October 3, 2018?
Yes, the fence has been repaired. They're having a little bit of a problem matching the vinyl, but she called me this morning, actually, and said that they do expect to have it done within a couple of weeks, so easily within time allowed.
Very good. Then I'll order the respondent come into compliance by October 3, 2018, or we return to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number 33, Chandra Carrera. Anyone here for the respondent? Not seeing a respondent. What say the city?
Okay. Mr. McCouncy, the inspector, Steve Alderman. Ms. Alderman reports that this property remains in non-compliance, and he's asking for next cutoff for the property to be brought into compliance. Again, Ms. Alderman has had some contact with the owner, and I tend to Mr. Alderman.
Okay. Inspector Alderman.
Yes, sir.
Once again, you had an opportunity to observe all these violations yourself?
Correct. Officer Stinson did open this up on March 21st of this year. I took it over on 4-3 of this year, and I've been in contact with the owner, Ms. Carrera. She has now completed the landscape maintenance. The outside storage has been removed, and the address is in place. The last issue she has is the upper portions of the fascias. You can see on that last photo, mm-hmm. she had worked her way up halfway, but on the front she hadn't even started, but she's on the upper fascias and overhangs, and that's all that's left on this one.
Very good.
She does expect, and I told her, both of these cases, they expect to be done on time. And this one, if she's not, she'll be in.
She'll be what now?
She'll be in here.
Okay. And you expect this work to be done by October 3rd?
Yes, she does, pending weather.
Okay. Order the respondent to come into compliance by October 3, 2018, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. That concludes this morning's agenda. Do we have any miscellaneous business to be brought to the attention of the special magistrate?
None that I'm aware of, sir.
And when do we move back to the police department? Is that what we're doing? When does that happen?
It's already happened,
Captain. All right, folks. With that, thank you all for your help. We're adjourned.